Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, CJ McCann lived for just 21 months, having been diagnosed with a rare form of childhood cancer last year. But his story continues to inspire his family in Roscommon and beyond with an initiative in his memory called CJ's Rainbow. And our reporter John Cook has been to meet the McCann family, and John is with us now. So, John, tell us more.
Yes, Claire. Niamh and Joe McCann live in a place called Banada near Ballyhadreen in County Roscommon, together with their daughters Roisin, aged 8, and Clodagh, aged 6. Their little boy, Christopher John, who was named after his granddad's, was known as CJ and was born on January 17th, 2022. The light of all their lives, they told me, and a source of great happiness for their extended family at a time when Niamh's brother was battling through serious illness. For a moment, family life seemed amazing, they said. As they sat around their kitchen table telling me all about CJ, his smiling face, this lovely fair-haired boy glowing from pictures right around their home. But after becoming sick, when he fell at around 10 months old, life was turned upside down in a matter of days for the McCanns, with urgent dashes from Sligo Hospital to Temple Street and Crumlin in Dublin, confirming the diagnosis of a rare and aggressive form of brain cancer, ATRT, for little CJ. What followed was a three-month stint of tests, surgery and chemotherapy in Dublin, far away from their other children, including through CJ's first Christmas. And later, the news they feared, the devastating news around 9 months later, as Joe and Niamh explained.
I remember sitting, I had CJ in my arms, and when people describe feeling something in the pit of their stomach, that's exactly as it felt. I actually zoned out from the words that were being used, and I really didn't want to look at the screen to see the MRI, but he was kind of explaining that the cancer had spread to the spine and that they could see, you know, the second tumour. But it really is that pit of your stomach where you feel like you'll never be the same again.
Yeah, the day that we got the news that it was terminal, it was shocking. Like, we knew that the team around us were trying their best and that CJ was trying his best. But when you're up against something like that, like a cancer like that, ATRT, it's not very easy.
Mm-hmm. This is August of 2023. CJ's about 18 months. Mm-hmm. What did you ask of the doctor, Niamh?
My first question was, will he be here for Christmas? And I think at that stage, I was looking for something to focus on. Mm-hmm. And she said no very quickly. So I knew that his time was going to be even more limited than those few months.
That must have been devastating to hear, Joe.
Yeah, it was. I remember I was looking out the window when we were having the consultation and CJ walked into the room. He was in great form at the time. You know, we're doing as much as we could. And it really was devastating for us and for our family. It's very hard to focus on anything. You kind of go numb.
But you went home and told the girls, Clodagh and Roisin. I mean, I don't know how you tell them that kind of news about their little brother.
It was very difficult to try and explain it. But in fairness to the girls, they really tried their best to understand it and ask all the right questions, which was really, really good for us.
Children are very blunt in their questions. And the girls asked, is he going to die? And we said, he is. And Roisin went out to the swing and cried. And we went out to her. And we all cried together. But I feel really proud that Joe and I were able to support our children through that news. Just as the day we told them that it was probably going to be CJ's last day with us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard in childhood cancer when you have a child that you have to give all your attention to, and that's the sick child, to try and parent your other children at the same time. But I feel really proud that Joe and I, we made the best decisions at each stage for our three children. Mm-hmm. And we made the decision to tell them that day. And it's probably one of the hardest things a parent can do, because it's essentially like watching your child, mm-hmm. you know, with their heart breaking.
I can't imagine that conversation that night, but it's children that gets you through it, I think, sometimes, isn't it, as well? What did she say to you? What did Clodagh said?
Yeah, so Clodagh walked into the kitchen and, you know, she was smiling and laughing because that's how quickly, you know, children just turn around. But she said, Mammy, CJ can try some of my medicine if the doctor's medicine didn't work.
That's really hard to hear all of that, just heartbreaking to hear what they went through, John. The challenge then of helping the girls through it too. Will you tell us a bit about Niamh and Joe's experience, though, of the health service for childhood cancer and for CJ?
Yes, Claire, and I should point out a visit to the McCann household is a very uplifting experience, which is amazing given what they've been through. Niamh kept journals of CJ's life and their experiences of childhood cancer and the health service, with both her and Joe saying they want to help other families like theirs. While they're forever grateful to so many they met in the health service, they were shocked, she said, to encounter repeated delays in accessing chemotherapy for CJ due to pressures in the system or at the hospital this year.
You become so familiar and so normal that, oh, you have to wait to see if there's a bed. But if I hadn't been in that world, I would have expected, if a child in this country has cancer and they're accessing chemotherapy, of course there's a bed, but that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So yes, we were postponed for a week.
The first chemotherapy appointment that was missed was CJ's first birthday, Joe, is that right?
Yeah, that was the 17th of January, but that was the first time that we had that experience of not having a bed.
What goes through your mind then? Because you've been told this is an aggressive form of cancer. There are a number of cancerous tumours here. You don't have time to wait.
Yeah, it's like an atomic bomb. Like, as a parent, you don't really know other than to fight and keep fighting and fighting. But if you don't have access to have that ability to fight the cancer, it's literally like a bomb going off in your head. You're thinking, what can I do? Who can I talk to? Is there some process that I can object here? You literally... With everything that's going on, there's an explosion as well on what you can do to help fight or help your son or daughter fight. And it's really not a nice position to be in.
It was an added stress that you didn't need, obviously. And I know that it was in April of this year, Children's Health Ireland, well, they denied the claims being made by Sinn Féin about 800 missed chemotherapy appointments for children. They did say there were delays or deferrals. How did you feel when you heard all of that, Niamh?
Well, I love the fact that they can, you know, fight over the language. Correct, they weren't cancelled, they were delays. But in the parents' room on St. John's, which is the National Paediatric Oncology Ward, which we spent most of our time on, we all spoke as parents. You know, we all knew that any time you were due back, and that is what you were only due back for your chemotherapy, you had to wait to be told there was a bed. Now, the services that were provided were exemplary. Mm-hmm. We met the most amazing staff, the most amazing consultants, you know, anyone who works on that ward, they're just amazing people. But the fact that there are people who and children in Ireland who can't access chemotherapy on time just came as such as a surprise to us.
There was a lot of talk at the time about the 2.2 billion, I think it is at this stage, National Children's Hospital that's being built.
Yeah, well, it was obviously a hot topic on the ward. We hoped that we would be part of that. And, you know, obviously you don't want to be bringing your child. But in CJ's case, it would have been a good news story for us to still be availing of the services at the new National Children's Hospital. Unfortunately, and what is a real concern is that we were told by members of staff and also discussed it with other parents that there is no increase in the amount of beds in the new National Children's Hospital for the paediatric unit. Now, that scares me. It really does, because unfortunately CJ isn't here today, but there are many other CJs and there are many, many other children that are experiencing childhood cancer around the country. I listened after CJ passed to a radio interview that Stephen Donnelly did, or Minister Donnelly, where he said that there was 4 acres of garden at the new National Children's Hospital. And I actually had to pull in the car because we had a lovely garden in St. John's, you know, for the time we got to use it. But the priority has to be beds and services. Nobody is going to St. John's to use the garden, you know? So to hear him mention the gardens just ignited a little bit of anger inside me, because I don't mind if the gardens are there. That's lovely. It's brilliant. But please make sure the beds are there first.
So that's Niamh McCann's very clear message to the health services. John, is there any response to what she had to say about those paediatric cancer beds?
Yes, Claire. Children's Health Ireland told me the rescheduling of chemotherapy in the majority of cases is down to patient-specific reasons, but they do point to recent figures as well. 71 chemotherapy day case cancellations between January and April of this year, which were deferred due to operational pressures like constraints on resources, availability of staff and infection control. And they say they regret the difficulties caused in situations like this. In a statement to the programme, they say the new National Children's Hospital will have a 34-bedded inpatient unit specialising in oncology and haematology care and a 22-bed daycare unit supported by the multidisciplinary team who currently work at St John's Ward in Crumlin. Now, from their home in Roscommon, Niamh and Joe also expressed concerns about the location of the new National Children's Hospital near St James's site in Dublin. It's centrally located for people in and around the capital, Niamh said, but not necessarily for those outside of Dublin who fear battling traffic to get there. Time will tell, of course, when that long overdue project is delivered. Now, the McCanns do want to stress they're very appreciative of everyone they met in the health service and everyone who helped CJ. They are also extremely grateful to some of the support services they found for their family as they tried to make the best of CJ's short life and deal with their children's emotions, as Joe explained.
We were up in Dublin, which is about 120 miles away from the girls. They were being really well taken care of, but we understood that they're going through the same process as we were. So we asked our social worker if they could find some form of counsellor for our kids. Luckily enough, she came up with a charity called Hand in Hand in Loughrea. Hand in Hand provide play therapy for siblings of children that have been diagnosed with cancer. Once CJ got diagnosed, they started then through his passing, and then they were basically dealing with all that emotion, all their feelings that are going through. And Roisin actually said a couple of weeks ago, it's great to have a play therapist for an hour where you can just have the hour to yourself, which is fantastic. But it helped an awful lot with them expressing themselves, expressing their emotions and talking about CJ, which they do today.
Niamh, you decided to make the last few weeks special, and it was about Christmas because you never had one really.
Oscar's Kids, who are a charity who work with children with a terminal diagnosis, could not have done any more to ensure that that weekend was magical.
They gave you Christmas in September.
Yeah. There was balloons, they got a Christmas tree, all donated from strangers around the country, and they did a card appeal, and we had over 30,000 cards from friends and strangers, but primarily strangers.
30,000 Christmas cards for CJ and your family. Yeah. Last September,
and we have them in boxes upstairs, and we all sat round and we opened them together and we read them out, and you know, they came from preschools and Garda stations.
It sounds lovely, and you showed me the most beautiful picture of the most amazing Santa photo with the family, with CJ, with Clodagh, with Roisin, with yourselves all here at home, albeit last September, who cares?
Yeah. So on this Saturday on Christmas Eve, on September 23rd, Santa came here. I think Joe and I would both say it was one of the most emotional things we ever went through, because it was just, well, one, to have Santa here. The kids were just totally enamoured. He spoke to us with such compassion, and to the girls, and CJ pulled his beard. And I mean, we never thought we'd get that. And Oscar's Kids provided that memory that will stay with us and the girls forever.
And they're gorgeous memories for them all to have, for the McCann family to have. But they very sadly, they knew what was going to follow for CJ.
Yes, Claire. Sadly, 21-month-old CJ had a number of seizures following that early Christmas and died in the arms of his parents, Joe and Niamh, with his brave sisters and extended family around them at home in Banada 3 weeks later. That was 8.5 months ago, Claire. So I was really impressed with how positive the family are as they turn their attention to his legacy, CJ's rainbow, they refer to it, because Roisin and Clodagh still look to the rainbows they see in the sky to feel their little brother's presence. And the family have been really busy organising local fundraising events to remember him and to create awareness around childhood cancer and raise up to €100,000 for the charities they mentioned, Hand in Hand and Oscar's Kids Ireland. Joe and a group of 20 friends, neighbours and family are training for CJ's Rainbow Charity Cycle next month, a gruelling 619-kilometre route for these amateur cyclists, according to Joe, but I don't think they're the sort to shy away from a challenge, Claire.
We're going from Malinhead to Mizenhead, and a lot of the cyclists, not necessarily on the group, but that I've met, have gone, are you sure you don't want to go to Mizenhead to Malin because you'll have the prevailing winds behind you? Now, my answer to them was that when CJ went on his journey, he was never allowed to pick the prevailing winds the easy way. So I said, listen, I'm going to do this once, and we're going to go Malinhead to Mizen, and whatever about the prevailing winds, we're going to get there.
I hope there's a rainbow for you, Joe, and for you and many to come, Niamh, and for your girls as well. Beautiful pictures of them around the house here as well. The rainbows are there too, because you say that this whole experience of childhood cancer and CJ's whole life has continues to educate you as a family, as people.
CJ taught us that there'll always be joy the other side of those mountains, and that you need to really live, to never stop living through the challenges. I do think that CJ taught us that even on the darkest days and when the rain falls, that you just have to make the best of that day and that moment.
Mm-hmm. Keep chasing that rainbow.
Keep chasing that rainbow, yeah.
Well, our thanks to Niamh and to Joe for speaking to John at their home in County Roscommon, and our deepest sympathies to them and to the girls on the loss of CJ. And if anything you heard there has impacted you, please go to rte.ie/helplines. And if you'd like to help the CJ's Rainbow Charity Cycle, you can find them on idonate.ie. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.